Gives me pleasure now to introduce our brother, Jim Yates, and ask for him your very careful and prayerful attention as he brings to us the message. Jim?
Thank you, Don. Every once in a while, we see on TV or read in the newspaper that some group has decided that the world's coming to an end. Some of them will isolate themselves into a cave or a mine shaft underground someplace with a year's supply of goods. And when they run out of all their staples, well, they'll come out and lo and behold, the world hadn't come to an end. Still here. Same old thing still going on. And it's interesting because most of these people belong to some church or some religious organization and should have read the scriptures. Especially in Matthew and Mark and Luke. But if they did read them, they didn't understand them. Now, some people will even have gone so far, as we've seen on TV, to name a date. July 4th, 3 p.m., world's coming to an end. Didn't happen. You know, they'll sell what they have or give it all away. Go someplace and seclude themselves and wait. All for naught. And then they'll bide their time. And somebody else will come along, same type of situation. Still nothing happens. And as I said before, evidently they did not read the scriptures. And now, just recently, I saw and heard on TV that some of them are predicting the end is coming pretty shortly because, what do they call it, calendar stone? The Mayan calendar stone or the Aztec? Mayan, that's what I thought, but I've heard both. But it's running out. And when it runs out, was it February? I don't remember. It's pretty close. Huh? Oh, well, it's still close. And it's going to, we're gone. Well, you know, once again, you have to wonder if they ever have read the scriptures or not, because I think that when that date comes to end in 2012, the whole thing was that rock just wasn't big enough to carve any more on. They couldn't put any more dates on it. They run out of space. And this wanting to know just when the world is coming to an end is not new. It goes way, way back. going to read in Matthew. In fact, most of my scriptures tonight are coming right out of Matthew, the 24th chapter. I'm going to start with verse 3 to 6. Jesus speaking to his disciples. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall be the sign of thy coming of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered them and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So you see, clear back then they was worried about the end of the world. Well, you know, wars and rumors of wars, there's been lots of them. Now, I can look over this audience, and I can see a lot of people that don't remember some that I remember. But I see a few that can. For instance, in 1935, Italy invaded Ethiopia. In 37, Japan invaded China. Russia invaded Finland. Germany invaded Norway. In 39, Germany invaded Poland and Czechoslovakia. In 40, they invaded France. 41, we all know what happened then. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. It goes on and on. And at that time, the whole world was at war. And it's been nothing but one war after another since. In the sixth verse of Matthew, and we're still in the 24th chapter, Matthew says, or this Jesus speaking, not Matthew, "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." In Matthew 24, 7 and 8, we read, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. And all these things are the beginnings of sorrows." There has always been natural disasters. In Europe in the 1300s, there was the bubonic plague. In our country, when the wagon trains were going west in the 1800s, they had smallpox and cholera. 1918, they had what they called the Spanish flu. And now we've got the N1 or the H1N1 flu that has spread worldwide so quickly because we got air travel now. They can go around and the first thing you know, it's everywhere. We've always had earthquakes and famines. Africa's been plagued with famines for years and earthquakes in diverse places. Bad ones over the years. And in China, Turkey, and now this one in Haiti. The largest one in Haiti in 200 years. 200 years ago, they had one a little bit bigger, 7.5. This one was 7.1. We look at the news, and we can see terrible devastation, loss of life. 3 minutes it lasted. And so far, maybe 200,000 lives lost. Ninety 90% of the buildings and homes lost in some of the towns. Some of the aftershocks almost as big as the original quake. And when you see the news, you see the people running to get out in the street away from the building so they don't come down on them. Terrible devastation. Earthquakes do a lot of damage. John was looking up on the... Internet a little while ago. And would you be surprised to know that today, worldwide, there was 34 earthquakes? Yesterday, there was 29. Of course, not the magnitude of the one that hit Haiti. It was monstrous. 21st verse in the 24th chapter. For then shall be great tribulations, such as not was since the beginning of the world to this time, nor never shall be. I suppose, you know, the poor people in Haiti could feel that that fit them today. But it's not. You know, I mentioned that China that and Turkey and the earthquakes and what about maybe 2 years ago, the big one in India Ocean, that the big tsunami did a lot of devastation, a lot of people just disappeared. It goes on and on. And we might think, you know, as we see the news and the one that's in Haiti that was 7.0 was a monstrous one, and it was. But can you think of anyone that would be bigger than that here? There was. And it's called the crucifixion catastrophe. We'll find it in the third book of Nephi. I'm only going to read part of it because it's long. Page 624. I'm going to read from 6 to 17. Keep in mind, as we get to the tail end of this, that the quake in Haiti was 3 minutes. When we get down to the end of this reading, you're going to find out that the devastation that was on this country or this Western Hemisphere at that time was 3 hours. Is there any way for our minds to compare or understand the amount of devastation that was done in 3 hours, let alone 3 minutes? And it came to pass in the 34th, and in the first month, a year, and in the first month, on the fourth day of the month, there rose a great storm, such as never was, never, and had been known in all the land. And there was also great and terrible tempest, and there was terrible thunder, inasmuch as it did shake the whole earth, as if it was about to divide asunder. And there were exceeding sharp lightning, such as never had been known in the land. And the city of Zarahemla did take fire, and the city of Moroni did sink into the depths of the sea, and the inhabitants thereof were drowned. And the earth was carried upon the city of Moroni in that place in the city thereof, and there became a great mountain. And there was great and terrible destruction in the land southward. But behold, there was more great and terrible destruction in the land northward. For behold, the whole face of the land was changed because of the tempest and the whirlwinds and the thunderings and the lightnings and the exceeding great quaking of the whole earth. And the highways were broken up, and the level roads were spoiled, and the many smooth places became rough, and the great and notable cities were sunk, and many were burned. And many shook till the buildings thereof fallen to the earth, and the inhabitants thereof were slain, and the places were left desolate. And there were some cities which remained, but did not, but the damage thereof was great, exceedingly great, and there were many of them who were slain. And there were some who were carried away in the whirlwind, and whither they went no man knoweth, save that they were known that they were carried away. And thus the face of the whole earth became deformed because of the tempests and the thunderings and the lightnings and the quaking of the earth. And behold, the rocks were rent twain, yea, were broken up upon the face of the whole earth, inasmuch as they were found in broken pieces and in seams and cracks upon the face of the land. And it came to pass that when the thunderings and the lightnings and the storms and the tempests and the quakings of the earth did cease, for behold, they did all in about the space of 3 hours. And it was said by some that the time was even greater. Nevertheless, all the great and terrible things were done in the space of about 3 hours. And then behold, a great darkness upon the face of the land. And we go on, we know that they couldn't even have a light. They couldn't light a fire. And there was no moon, no sun, no stars. Complete darkness. And other devastation of other cities buried in the sea and in the ground. So we find that there was great devastation on this land many, many years ago. That as great as this is in Haiti, it would put it to shame. Matthew 11 and 24. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. 24. And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch as if it were possible they would deceive the very elect. False prophets. False Christs. We know that millions have been deceived by that great false prophet Muhammad. Many years ago, my grandfather's brother, Uncle Wilbur, was over here. And he took my father, my brother, and myself. We were out on East Indian School Road to see a man who claimed he was Christ. A false Christ. He wore sandals, a long white robe. And he could spit the scriptures out just like that. But he stubbed his toe. I don't remember whether it was my dad, I think it was. It stumped him on something that he had to stop and think for a minute. So he had to get the scriptures real quick and look it up. He knew where to find it. But he's looking it up, and he's having trouble. So he reaches over here and puts his glasses on to read the scripture. Now, do you think our Lord and Master has to put on a pair of glasses to read any scripture to us? No. False, aren't they? Prediction that there's going to be people like this. And that's just the beginning, you know. There's been a few others, I'm sure. But this I know of personally, because I was there. And there'll be more in the future. Matthew 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. Go to Mosiah, page 218. Mosiah 1:121 tells us almost the same thing. Page 218, verse 121. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Has yet to come. So we know that the true gospel of the kingdom has to yet to go throughout the whole world. It's not there yet. And until that time comes, the end won't come. That's not saying that they're all going to accept, but they're all going to have the chance to hear it. Now we know that there is several things in this 24th chapter, it has already come to pass. And yet there are several in there that hasn't yet. We've already heard rumors of wars and wars. And more to come, I'm sure. Pestilences. Earthquakes, as I said, there was 34 today, nothing major, but there could be, because one of those earthquakes that they had today was in Yellowstone National Park. That's a ticking time bomb. False prophets, famines, all taken place with yet more to come. Matthew 24:35 tells us, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And in Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord and I change not. Tells us that these things that we read in the 24th chapter of Matthew in red letters are going to come to pass. Because he does not change. If he said it's going to, it's going to. And there are still those who want to put a time on when it does happen. And again, I say they didn't read the scriptures. Go to Mark 13. Mark 13, 32 and 33. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Now, those who like to put a timetable on it evidently didn't read that verse neither. Because even the Son don't know when the Lord, the Father himself, is going to tell him to come back. Matthew 24 tells us that there are some bad times ahead yet. But all is not lost. Because the next verse, Matthew 24:13, tells us, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. We must remain faithful and follow the commandments of God to endure to the end, to be, as we read in 13, to be saved. Thank you.